The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping and have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle all your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off USPS and UPS. Add flexibility to your day with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk. We're glad you're here. Thank you for sharing some of your snowy St. Louis afternoon with us or wherever you're listening. Chances are you've got some snow or at least had some weather. We're glad to be here. It was a rough drive coming in today. We all came in at different times. And me, I thought you had said this a little bit earlier, Ryan, but there's kind of some strategery to timing it correctly. And I said to my husband yesterday, okay, so when is the forecast saying this going to stop? I think the last number I heard him say was maybe 4 a.m., but then he goes, but maybe there's another shot between 8 and 9 or something like that that was going to come. And I just thought to myself, I want to wait until the weather is done weathering. Some people have had the opportunity to drive on the roads. Because the other philosophy is to do like what Brad did, which is say, let me just leave early and try to get here early. And if it's okay, then I just show up super early. If it's not okay, I don't have to feel like I'm in a super rush. But when I was driving in between, let's see, I started to leave my garage at about probably 10:20 a.m. and I probably left my driveway at about 10 to 11. and I got here at about 11:30. So I think I probably spent about an hour on the road. Not quite.
My drive was about a half hour because I live on a big hill, so I can't go down that hill.
You know, honestly, I was texting you earlier to see what your schedule was like this morning. I was going to offer to come get you, but I was like, gosh, if I go get him, I was going to have to come in on the top of the bluff, and then I was going to leave.
And that's what we do.
Because the hill by your house.
Yeah, it's like the bluffs.
Yeah.
Like that's...
You're on the bluff.
The
right biggest, on the top of it.
Yeah, and so we have to go kind of through town whenever it's like this, but it's no big deal. We just know that we're going to do that. The one nice thing is, though, that everybody knows that that's a big hill, because you can see it from around. Like, oh, that's that street that goes right up that hill. So everybody knows that that street is a big deal, so they salt it. It actually ends up being one of the better streets, but you don't want to take the chance, because if you do happen to hit a spot, man, you're gone. There's no way. You're not recovering.
Where was the worst part? You're in town in Collinsville, then you're on the highway, then you're in downtown.
The weird thing is everybody says, oh, it's always the toughest to get out of your driveway, and then you get on the main roads, it gets better and better. That was mostly true until we got to Tucker. Coming off of the Stan Musial Bridge from Illinois into Missouri, this is Tucker. This is one of the main, this might be the main road in downtown St. Louis. I mean, you take...
As far as going north-south.
It's got to be, it's the main road. And once you got down a little bit further south, it was okay. It looked like everything else. But where you get on to Tucker from 70 was like, have they sent a plow out at all?
No, there was 8 inches of snow piled up on the lanes.
And I can't figure out why, because it was for multiple blocks. It was like whoever had that contract just didn't show up.
The road right by, it's probably, I think, Cole and Tucker. So you get past, coming into downtown, you get past the McDonald's off the Stan Musial Bridge, the Stan Span, as I call it. The next stoplight is Cole Street. And there was a car that had tried to turn west in that intersection and couldn't make it and was trying to do the Rockaway.
Oh man.
In and out, and we had a green light going south, and I'm like, I want to keep, because you kind of have to keep going.
Mm-hmm. I went through some reds because I'd slow down a little bit to look and make sure nobody's coming
from
each side.
It's just like a normal day in St. Louis.
Yeah, but you had to have momentum to get through some of these
stoplights
because they were uncleared. And I'm looking now, so I'm looking at this going, gosh, it's like 10:30 or whatever.
Yeah.
This isn't the early morning. They've had plenty of time. And then you get a little further and it's much more plowed. I'm looking at side streets up there, and again, I don't know if this is like one driver didn't show up or the city just didn't take care of it. I don't know, but some of the side streets that weren't, you know, major ones downtown, they had not been touched. So if you live anywhere in that area, you were completely stuck. My little suburb, I don't expect Collinsville to do a ton. You know, they've got several trucks and they do a good job. But I live on such a little side road that I don't expect much. And they had me, you know, pretty well taken care of. If you live in downtown St. Louis, the population center, you were stuck.
I saw people getting out of parking garages because the parking garages are part of some of these buildings downtown. So you drive past, you don't realize that, oh, the first three floors of that building are actually just parking. There were people trying to leave parking garages, couldn't get out.
No. Because
that terrifies me.
The arms, Brad had to deal with this.
Yeah.
The arm of the
garage,
the gate or whatever was just frozen.
Yeah.
And so you could scan in, it wasn't gonna move for you.
Yeah, I made that journey in from O'Fallon, and for me the township maintained roads were great. My street was bad, but it's not a snow route. But once I hit the snow routes, those were all good. Then I hit the highway, not so much, and then downtown St. Louis. But I pulled in here. And I scanned my card and the arm just didn't do anything. It's like, it beeped. I know it beeped.
I like the solution was, why don't we just take it off?
Well, here's Scooter's comment. He says, everybody complains about the size of government until they need a snowplow. How about we pay to get these roads plowed and they're not going well? What if we privatize snowplowing?
I'm down with that.
I think that's already partially true. They do privatize
I just think that what you're saying is that we need to spend more on government. I'm saying maybe we should spend less because they're not doing a great job.
Yeah. This is a great example of how the government isn't doing a good job.
They have enough snowplows.
Also, I will add, I don't know what it takes to plow roads. I don't know if it's a manpower or a womanpower thing in Scooter's world situation to make sure that you effectively get this done. I'm just saying right now, the moral of my story is if you don't have to drive, I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't. There are schools across the area being closed for tomorrow. And I think that they're really, to me, it's like, great idea, cancel school. I have no problem with canceling school. I have no problem with canceling school and giving kids actual snow days. I also have no problem with canceling schools. And if you have the apparatus to let kids e-learn so they don't have to tack a day on in May, I would much rather my kids have to do some sort of e-learning and not have to go to school on past Memorial Day, personal preference. But if we're canceling school, we should, from a workforce standpoint, you should be able to do, the majority of people should be able to work remotely. You should work remotely if you can work remotely, because there are people who can't work remotely who need to traverse these roads. The plows need to be able to get through, and it's much harder if there's a bunch of people on the road. So if you don't have to go out, I would still say, at least as of a couple hours ago, don't go out. Stay home, call yourself in a snow day, work from home, whatever it might be. If you can stay home and nobody dies because you didn't go into work that day, that's fine. For a minute, I thought about, gosh, do I need to figure out a situation for tomorrow? They often offer to put us up in hotel rooms so that we're closer to downtown. You'd still have to drive through downtown in order to do it. I don't want to stay.
It's like the worst part of it, too.
I don't want to stay in a hotel. I've got a studio in my basement, but I haven't used the studio in my basement in a really long time. And the truth of the matter is, we do a better show for you when I'm sitting in this chair in the studio. So I was like, nope, you're just going to go in. You're just going to have to go in. If something happens halfway there and you're like, this is not safe, I'll do something else. But, you know, I need to go in. And I also know that there's going to be somebody here, you know, if all three of us can't be here for whatever particular reason, there's still somebody who's going to have to come sit mm-hmm. behind this board to make sure that it's watched.
Yeah, this is live radio.
Yeah. So if that person needs to be here, I should be here.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I'd been off for 2 weeks.
would you say that generally we care too much?
I don't know if I'd say we.
Because when I was talking about coming into work today,
I could say we in the sense that at least two out of three broadcasters in this room.
My wife said, "You know, you really could just broadcast from home tomorrow, like it's COVID times, you know." And I said, "This show's so much better though when we're together, and the people need us."
I know that you're being sarcastic, but it is also at least the first part true. I hope the people, if they don't need us, I hope they like to hang out with us. I hope that you're like, yay, Annie's back. The gang's all back together. That was one of the things I wanted to talk about this hour is, you know, you take 2 weeks off of work. It's Christmas time, so the news slows down. The news didn't slow down. There was still a lot happening.
There's a lot going on.
Some of the things that cut through my vacation, and I was, again, I said this earlier, I was not afraid of the news. If a headline came up, I read the alert on it, or I tuned into Fox News from time to time and watched the news, mostly because I couldn't watch the Lion Guard anymore. It's just too much. Like, okay, I get it. The Matt Gaetz, he ends up getting his own TV show, and you know, like the report came out right before we left. That's done. Nobody cares.
No, I was really disappointed that the show, when I saw the show, that it was like a news show. I was hoping for like laugh-in. Like he was going to come out and be like,
"Bah-nah-bah." The biggest thing that came out of that was that his makeup sucked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I was disappointed in
that.
Did
you notice? Mm-hmm. Did you notice he looked odd?
Yeah. I did.
Than usual.
I did. Only in screenshots on the internet.
Did he have bottom tooth?
I didn't notice. Did he?
I don't know. I want to get him on the show. I want to talk to reporter Matt Gaetz or host or whatever he is. I'm not a reporter. He's not a reporter. I wanted to have him on the show. But I just thought it was interesting that right before we left, it's like, ooh, Matt Gaetz, ethics report, scary. And now it's like, what? What was
well,
that?
Well, I mean, yeah, that came out. I mean, the big story, Christmas week, the budget fight was still going on.
Well, I thought that the biggest thing that happened when I peeked into Twitter and had to like do research, like, whoa. Take me to the top. Was the Elon Musk, Vivek Ramaswamy, H-1B visa situation that had... I'm like, oh, we don't like Elon and Vivek right now? What? And this is... I want to make sure that I am outspoken on this specifically. All Republicans are not going to agree on everything. And the fight needs to happen. The discussion needs to take place. We have not been in a position for that discussion to mean anything. But now it means a great deal. And Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, both, of course, they're bazillionaire, whatever, you know, they've got a lot of things going underneath them. They've had a lot of success. They've had a lot of experience. They're in charge of, does he run anything? He doesn't have employees. He's not, like, Elon Musk is running a business.
I don't know anything about Vivek Ramaswamy's business.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, I know that he was very successful. I don't know if he's still
was
doing
it. Pharmaceuticals.
Was it?
Yeah.
Sketchy.
Yeah, I already don't like it.
But
well, except for all the ones I'm taking.
But H-1B, yeah, I like some of them.
Never I like mind. Those.
Yeah, exactly. Good point, though. These individuals have been outspoken mouthpieces for a particular movement, but I said this earlier, the rubber is starting to meet the road. This is going to be complicated. This is going to be difficult. We're going to see cuts be proposed that don't go through. We're going to see cuts that are made that are potentially going to affect your life. And the question is, what happens after that? But we have to be able to have the conversation. The Democrats have been so successful at being like, ooh, scary. Don't even talk about that. If you talk about it, you're evil. So we don't talk about it. Now we're talking about it. When you see, like, you do not have to be on Elon Musk's side or Vivek Ramaswamy's side. You need to be on the side of what is good policy. And sometimes you're going to see people who are a part of your political party have ideas that you disagree with. That is American. That is okay. And the conversation, especially watching it unfold on X, where I can tweet something to Elon Musk, I can tweet something to Donald Trump, I can put information out there that becomes part of the discussion and potentially becomes part of a solution. You never know. You never know. But the conversation is taking place right now. And I just, oh my goodness, don't get trapped up in the left's glee. The only place that they can savor the moment is when the Republicans fight over things. The Republicans are having these sorts of disagreements and fights because the outcomes of those conversations are actually going to implicate what happens next. And the Democrats, you know what they have? popcorn in a seat of no effect on what actually comes out of these discussions. The only thing that they can benefit from is glee in watching us fight. The solution is not to not fight because the Democrats really like it when we fight about things. We better not fight. No, false, incorrect. You fight about policy and you fight hard for what you think is right and you fight hard for what you believe in and you go all out. And then you figure out in the House, what is the simple majority? And then it has to be persuasive enough, you know, get past a filibuster to pass in the Senate with a greater majority. There's a system set up to filter these things through American representative government to get to the point where the president actually signs it. And they won't happen if the argument doesn't happen. And here's the most beautiful part of this. The arguments were always happening. The disagreements have always taken place. But now you are a part of them. Now they're out in the open where you get to have a say and you get to watch the sausage be made. And nobody likes to do that except for the fact when you have to eat it and it tastes terrible. It sucks. And you're like, how did we get to here? Now you know how we got to here. And now you get to have a say. Now you get to see that conversation take place out in the open because Elon Musk purchased Twitter and made it a place where people can have conservative ideas.
Any ideas?
Yes, but conservatives are the ones in the past that you right. couldn't share places. And if you did, you got throttled to the point where it was like, what's the point? This is all sausage making. It's all ugly. And to think that it wasn't taking place before is very, very ignorant. These conversations have always been happening, but the people that are in the rooms, in the places, have kept you from that conversation to try to make sure that it looks like a polished turd when it gets to your front door or your table or your bank account or whatever it is that you need. They try to clean it up for you so that it's palatable, and it's not ever palatable, obviously. It's incumbent upon you, it's incumbent upon me to be a part of the conversation and to not get bent out of shape when two stalwarts or two factions of the Republican Party disagree on something. We are going to have incredibly difficult conversations in the next weeks, months, and of course years about what happens next in the United States of America. But we have been given the opportunity to have those. And under the First Amendment, you can speak and you can be wrong. You can speak and you can be right. But the ability to speak and be a part of the system that is there to serve you, God willing, we get it back to that, is a beautiful thing. The one frustration I had about watching the Elon Musk H-1B fighting that was taking place on X, I was like, just keep having the conversation. Like, if the discussion ends up being like, well, are you pro-Elon or are you anti-Elon? I'm like, shut up. You're not even having the right fight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not fighting you with you on that. I'm going to fight about whatever the cause is. And I don't even know where I'm not opposed to people coming here. But when I see people like we're trying to import the best and the brightest to be gas station attendants, I'm like, there's probably an American who could do that job.
The nice thing is all that fighting. Because you're going to have a whole bunch more. I mean, they're not even in office yet. So we're going to have a lot of these fights. Budget, for instance. When a budget fight becomes news, that's great. Because people are paying attention to the nation's budget. It's boring. But when there's friction, people go, I'm going to check this out. They're paying attention. That's great news.
It's not bad when we disagree with each other.
No.
We get to have these disagreements. The Democrats, as you know, they're like, oh, the Democrats always seem to have it all together, blah, blah, blah. That's because they don't involve their people in the process. Mm-hmm. You sign over your will and your way when you vote for Democrats in office because they're going to do what they're going to do to the detriment of the American people and apparently their own party. It's not going to be like that with the Republicans in power in the House and the Senate and in the presidency. But you have to be strong enough. You have to have the intestinal fortitude to watch it happen and stay the course and not freak out because it's a good thing. It isn't going to be publicly pretty, but it's not supposed to be. The outcome, however, will be beautiful. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, more Annie Fry Show right around the corner. We did speak with the chairman of the Republican National Committee, Michael Whatley, in the 12 o'clock hour. Great to have him on the show. That'll be on the podcast if it isn't already. We spoke, had a nice long conversation with Steve Moore, who's in Washington, D.C. right now, and Congressman Bob Onder in the 1 o'clock hour. For podcasts of the show, if you want to check them out, you can go to the Odyssey app. see them all there. Just find the Annie Fry Show on the Odyssey app. You can stream us live anytime. You can also go to anniefryshow.com/podcast. Let them see we're crazy. I love that line. I love the way she says. Is that she?
Yeah.
Let them say we're crazy.
Crazy.
Did you? Here's a little fun fact for you. Did you know that Mannequin. Jefferson Starship used to be Jefferson Airplane and they were a hippie band?
I didn't know it was Jefferson Starship. I thought it was just Starship.
Well, maybe eventually.
I just have a special, very ingrained memory of my youth of watching Mannequin over and over and over again.
Really?
And the part where the mannequin is on the like conveyor belt, because you know everybody has a conveyor belt that's supposed to chop up mannequins in Famous Bar. Like going back on that.
Oh, like a little conveyor belt with a guillotine on. It's like, we gotta chop
much.
These things.
I mean,
up.
It's Bugs Bunny stuff.
Send them to the old plastic factory.
Have you seen Mannequin?
It's been forever.
Well, I saw it enough.
Okay.
It's a great love story. And is it Kim Cattrall? She was the older one in Sex and the City, was mm-hmm. the mannequin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? I really don't remember. I think I'm thinking of today's special.
I remember today's special. Man, some of the... If I could go back and watch Captain Kangaroo, because didn't they do like little games?
I don't remember because I did not watch... I didn't like Captain Kangaroo very much.
I don't know.
Are the letter people.
How long did you have... How long did you not have cable? Like, how long in your life? How old were you when you had more than, what, 5 or 6 options for TV?
I think we had cable almost my whole life.
What?
Yeah.
That's not wild. Everybody can be wealthy like you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was, like, the one thing we did were you, like, oh, we're going to spring
Did you
for
have,
cable.
Like, a satellite dish the size
no,
of your garage
No,
your
we
house?
Just had cable, like, regular cable. Probably mid-80s is my guess. What?
Did you?
No. I didn't have cable or PrimeStar or whatever it was, the first satellite
DSS.
Thing.
DSS?
I didn't have that until I think I was a sophomore in high school.
Yeah, I was going to say it was definitely junior high at the earliest.
No. I'm getting a text. Hang on.
I don't... Is it from...
No, it's from my wife saying the kids have worked on the driveway for over an hour and they're not done yet.
Is she disappointed?
Here, text to talk.
Does she want us to talk to him or something?
Keep going, period.
I'm gonna tell you something very honest. When I was talking to, I think it was Michael Watley, I asked a question. I almost said question mark at the end. I voice to text everything. And there's some things I got to do to slip back into the job here. And one of them is not to do my on-air radio show like it's talk to text.
That's funny.
How do you feel about the Republicans' ability to stick together? Question mark. It's bad.
That's the head of the RNC. That would have been great.
If I ever do that, I'm going to just sit and take my lumps. Because if I ever say question mark on the air after asking a high-profile guest something, I should just leave.
I think you should start accentuating all of your sentences by punctuating them.
Just like give the extra emphasis to exclamation point.
And you know what America needs? Question mark. It needs more of DJT and the people like him, period.
DJ Tanner?
Yeah, DJ Tanner.
Yeah, she's good. I like her.
That's what I was saying.
Candace Cameron Bure. If she's in it, I let my kids watch it.
Oh, yeah?
That's a true story. Because there's so much stuff out there right now that's got all these alternate storylines. This is one of the things I'm most hopeful of potentially changing. I want to know that this... There's one thing about storylines reflecting people who are not like me or not like my kids. I'm okay with the inclusion of anybody and their walk of life, but if you're sneaking in very alternative cultural messages into something that would innocuously lead the parent to believe that, oh, I thought you were talking about saving the... stray lion in Lion Guard to get it back to the savannah. I'm making up a story here. I don't have a problem with Lion Guard, obviously. Well, I do. It's just not that kind of problem. When they're trying to sneak things in, I think that makes a big deal. You shouldn't be do that. You should be upfront with it. People should know. And there's no... it's expected that these people who work in these platforms, Disney absolutely included... feel as though it's their moral responsibility to teach your kids what you're not teaching them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you got to be so diligent. And Candace Cameron Bure, I was watching, I don't watch Christmas movies, Hallmark, the like. I don't participate in any of that by choice ever. But she's in a ton of them. And she was talking about how on her podcast, she was saying something to the effect of, if she is in a movie and it says follow your heart, she changes the line.
No kidding.
Because she says you're not supposed to. God tells us not to follow our heart. God tells us to follow him, follow Jesus. And follow your heart is actually, and this might be kind of a deep dive here, but the advice to follow your heart is not really sound advice, because your heart will lead you astray regularly.
That's scriptural.
Correct.
Your heart is the heart is deceptive above all.
And Cameron Bure is in all these Christmas movies that are not like, they're not Christian movies per se, but she is a Christian who is in them, and she sees that and says, I want to say the same thing to convey the thing that is intended here. Because I think she even says something to the effect of like, I know that they're not saying like, don't follow God, follow your heart. And she's like, I know that's not what's happening, but there's a better way to do it. And when she said that, I thought to myself, if she's in it, I trust her.
Huh. So anything with that. Candace Cameron Bure, you're like, you can watch that. I feel the same thing about Pavel Bure.
I thought you were going to say John Stamos.
No. That's a deep cut, Ryan.
No.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
He's talking about a hockey player.
If my kids are going to watch new hockey games, I'm like, But if they watch old 90s hockey games with Vancouver in them, I'll let them watch.
Is that her husband?
No. Valerie Bure is her husband. Pavel Bure.
Why do you know? Did you Google this?
No, it's just well known if you're a hockey fan.
People know.
Are you a hockey fan?
I was then.
I was going to say, there's a lot of new things happening right now.
I had a Pavel Bure jersey when I was in high school.
Really?
I did. Yeah, Vancouver Canucks jersey.
When Christmas break is happening, we talked a little bit about some of the stories that bubbled up over then. I know you guys have done a few shows before since I've been out. But, of course, another one of the stories that I paid a lot of attention to was the New Orleans attack, which was absolutely tragic. Odyssey New York lost an account executive. One of the people who was killed in the New Orleans attack worked for Odyssey in New York. And, you know, just makes it a little bit closer to home. I didn't know the person who died in that attack, but you find out that it does come a little bit more into your realm than it could have been before that news. And then, of course, the Cybertruck blowing up outside of a Trump Tower and all of the different off-ramps that story has taken since that occurred the day after. Well, I guess it was technically the same day. It kind of goes into our YouTube live chat poll for today. Grade your expectations for 2025, A, B/C, D, or F, our standard grading scale when we ask these questions. And the reason why I only have four options in a YouTube poll, but B/C is basically saying I'm not ready to give you an A, but you're still passing. And same thing with splitting D and F. Like, you can fail or you can be close to failing. So that's why we divide them up that way. I'm incredibly hopeful. My expectations for 2025 are as high as they could possibly get. And I wouldn't consider myself to be an optimistic person. I consider myself to be a very realistic person, which I'm told is what pessimists say. But I don't want to look at it that way. I think I'm doing a pretty good job.
I'm going to hold up this Scooter's cup and you're going to go, that glass is half full, Ryan.
It's about 40% full.
Well, that was much more realistic, but that's just kind of person you are, is what I'm trying to say.
I want to go glass straight to the full. Truth. I mean, my expectations for 2025, I'm going to say A, but I'm also concerned about at what cost the success is going to come with and the repercussions of the absolutely horrific policy that we've seen through the Biden 4 years. When your policy is based on a general disgust for what we are as a country, what we've been as a country, when your policy is based on righting the wrong of America pretty much every time you turn around, there's a lot of consequences to that. People are very quick, if it hasn't already happened, to remind us that the New Orleans Jabbar, was that his last name?
Mm-hmm.
That he's an American-born citizen, he served in the military, so on and so forth. He was radicalized by a groupthink that exists outside of the borders, but is here now. And when you work to diminish and demoralize who we are as a country, and I say that over what we are as a country, you really give safe harbor to people to think in ways that aren't as extreme as like, oh, he was influenced by ISIS. Isn't that the Overton window? Like, you shift it so far that what you feel is, well, you know, they hate America because America is really a broken place. And America has not been good to a lot of the people who have been in this country. And America has a lot to atone for. There is no single thing in that mentality. There is no single thing that could happen that would appease the people who think that America is morally bankrupt and irredeemable. That lost in November 2024. That mentality lost, and it lost resoundingly in the November election. So much so that I said this earlier when we were speaking with Chairman Whatley in the 12 o'clock hour. When you watch, well, I'll just speak for myself. When I watched Kamala Harris preside over the certification of the election results, people are like, oh, I don't think there's going to be any problem with this time, and I think this is going to go pretty smoothly. It wasn't even close. There's no ground for Kamala Harris to stand on. She got beat, and I will say, out of respect for her, she came, she did her job, and she got it done. The certification is over. The results of the election are certified. But she presided over a party that tried to profit off demoralizing what it means to be America. And the other side was literally, make America great again. Our policy is America first. There is pride in that. And it is back in the center stage of what's going to happen in this country once again. But we will reap what we've sown in the last 4 years of bad, bad, bad policy that is really based on some sort of globalist mentality that is to diminish America so that it is, how dare you? How dare you say America first? How dare you prioritize? Do you think you're better than other people? Well, you're gosh darn right. I think that America is better than other countries in this world. And we have a responsibility to use the greatness of our country to benefit us in a way that can bless others. But that's the order of things. That's the natural order of things. If you want to diminish the country, more of the same of the last 4 years. But Americans said no. It is nerve-wracking to look left, right, up, down and see that we have threats facing us much closer to home than you're used to seeing them. I'm very excited. Is Jim Carafano on with us tomorrow, as far as you know?
As far as I know,
no,
yeah.
No canceling? I'm very excited to talk to him. Post these. Have you had him on since? Did you talk to him once, Ryan?
No, I think we talked to Hans,
Tuesday,
but we did not talk to him.
You didn't talk to him since the attacks?
No, no.
Mm-mm. I'm always sensitive to me being out, and I do realize that the show will go on when I'm not here. I don't want to repeat conversations, but Jim Carafano is in the front row of what has been going on and telling us what's brewing in our country. So I'll be very excited to talk to him tomorrow at 1:05. About what we need to stay abreast of here locally, the safety and security moving about the country, our country, my country, your country. My expectations for 2025, highest they've ever been in my lifetime. But unfortunately, the distance between where my expectations were before the election and where they are now, a dramatic distance between those expectations and a Biden America, Kamala Harris America, and where we are now in a Donald Trump America, the distance is greatly enhanced by how not great it was with the other guys in charge. Let's find out what Brad and Ryan think when we come back. And any other stories that I might have missed that I haven't weighed in on. We'd love to hear from you. Go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and vote in the poll today and tell us what you think, your grade. Vicky said D, at least until Trump is inaugurated. Well, Vicky, there's a whole lot of year, God willing, after the inauguration of Donald Trump. Kurt says B, it's going to take time to right the ship. I think that's a good assessment. Kate says, I'm going with an A, starting out positive. And Todd said, I'm going to turn my D 2024 into a high A in 2025. What do you think? Annie Fry YouTube channel, go vote, leave a comment. We'll be right back with the results at the end of the next segment. Don't go away. I was going to say, I don't think they make music like this anymore, but Bruno Mars kind of does. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. at least genre. I guess so.
Is this funk?
I don't know if this is
no. Oh,
this is,
I don't think so.
Is this Motown?
Rubber Band Man. It's just so good.
Motown.
It's a really weird song. You know, he talks about him playing the rubber band with his toes.
I've never really listened that close to lyrics.
Well, one time, I used to play this for my son's baseball team a lot. Somebody might have used it for a walk-up song or whatever. But I'm like, at one point I was listening, I'm like, what is this song about? And I went and read the lyrics, and I'm like, that's kind of gross.
What is it about? Just a guy playing the rubber band with his toes?
I think he's got it hooked up in his, like, I'm assuming it's a long rubber band, but like hooked up on his toes, and he's ba-doop, ba-doop, ba-doop.
So is that what the bum, 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 is supposed to be, a rubber band?
Ish.
Seems like...
I don't know. I've already thought more about it than probably anybody else ever has.
Seems like a really good VH1 Behind the Music, where they sit down for an hour and like, tell us your inspiration.
I love the song, so I haven't let go of it, but all I can think about is that man's feet and his toes. I'm sure they're well manicured.
I wouldn't know. It's such a weird...
Yeah, it's weird. It's very weird.
The weirdest thing that happened in the whole show is you being like, you know the guy that sings this song? I bet his feet are really well manicured.
that puts me in a category of people that I do not belong in, I would add.
It lets you accept the song for what it is. Because if they weren't well manicured, you'd be like, I can't listen to this.
Grade your expectations for 2025. Hopefully we haven't just lowered your expectations of the show. You can grade it A, B/C, D, or F in about 5 minutes. We're going to read those results for you. These polls are always carried out on the Annie Fry YouTube live broadcast. So you go to Annie Fry, F-R-E-Y, on YouTube. Watch the show live if you so choose, but you can vote in the live chat of the video. That's why I call it the live chat poll. Expectations for 2025. Brad, why don't you go first? A, B/C, D, or F?
I'm giving it an A. I usually like to underpromise and hopefully over-deliver. But let's do this. I mean, I think I said this to Ryan whenever they were picking the House Speaker. I was like, wouldn't it be great if they just pulled the rug out from everybody and elected him on the first round? And that's actually what kind of happened. I know some people had to switch their votes, but before they gaveled the first vote, Mike Johnson was the Speaker of the House. It seems like everybody's on board and rowing in the same direction. And I think that bodes well for the future of the country and for the Republican Party.
I think maybe it was my conversation with Congressman Onder at 125. It might have been the RNC chair, Michael Whatley, in 1225, but there was drama around it for nerds like us. But listen, folks, people weren't paying attention to that at that point. And if you didn't pay attention to that 2 hours of news, Speaker Mike Johnson is still Speaker Mike Johnson. You get back to work and you're like, all right, let's see what they're doing. He's still a speaker. Drama free.
You know what's fun? We got to cover that semi-drama.
I was excited that you guys were both
in here
while that was
3 hours on Friday, right here. Like, you know, we got to come on a little early and do it, and it was fun.
His Speaker Johnson's speech was great. He spoke after that. He read Thomas Jefferson's Daily Prayer, which I thought was awesome. But then I was also like super excited because he kind of hit the post too, so we were able to get out. It was like a segment.
Nerd.
It was great.
He did it for our time.
I'll just, you know, to add on to what I was saying about how much people paid attention in that moment. I mean, one of the reasons why you need to have it in 97.1 FM talk is because we're covering these things live and you guys are here to be able to do that for people who are tuned in. But for the people who are, I was paying attention to the vote. I was watching it, the votes on Fox News. I was more watching. I was doing other things around the house to try to get the house back in order. So I was watching the count.
Yeah, give me the updates.
And that was pretty much it. But
that's what we were doing too.
When he got it, I had to go on and I had kids, you know, putting them through watching that is not exactly what the children want to be paying attention to. So I didn't even watch the Mike Johnson speech or the Hakeem Jeffries speech when Michael Whatley who said today that, you know, Hakeem Jeffries said that the Democrats are going to work with Republicans to secure the border. I didn't know that. That didn't break through in my world, and I was quasi paying attention.
And I don't know how much we talked about it, but Mike Johnson, we aired the speech, so he talked about it. He said during the speech, and it looked like a kind of off the cuff moment too, because he's got his prepared remarks. But he starts talking, and he goes, "We're going to do this to the border. Oh, and by the way, Mr. Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, we will take you up on that offer to help with this. I'm glad you said that. You know, so it was a little bit of a surprise that Hakeem Jeffries would put that in his speech."
So what's your grade? If for coming into 2025, you're usually the optimist in this room, and we're both A's. So
yeah, this is kind of weird. It's a role reversal because I'm a BC. I'm actually tempering my expectations going into this year simply because I think the roots of what Trump and company are going to have to dig out are so dang deep that it's going to be one of two things. It's going to be difficult to watch because, man, it's going to get messy, or he's going to start digging and he's going to get pushed back like he did before. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be tough. So I'm just tempering my expectations, saying BC.
I think that the reason why I'm so confident in being able to say A for myself is because I want to make sure that the people who are out there, Republican, who have access to really getting things done, that you know we have high hopes and high expectations. And if you do not meet them, it will be a letdown.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not traditionally like this. I usually am like, that's going to be, you know, we're going to ask for 100% of what we want. And if we get 30%, that's really how you should be happy. Even like in baseball, if you're batting 300, people are watching you and cheering for you. That's probably realistically the way it is going to go. But I'm not going to let anybody think that I'm satisfied with that 30%. We need to go as hard as we can right now with righting the ship, no pun intended, to make sure that we do exact the type of outcome that we wanted to see, why we sent Republicans in all three areas here to get stuff done. We need to put high pressure on them because we do have high hopes, and we should. We have the right to have these expectations, and they need to know that they have the responsibility to meet them. And when they fall short, shoot for the moon, and if you miss, you'll be among the stars or some bull crap like that.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And never more eloquent.
That's good to be back.
Shoot at the sky. You might hit something. I don't know.
That's like also
at least your bullet will be up there.
Legal advice for a while.
Yeah, for a while.
Scooter said, as far as the economy goes, Biden's numbers are solid. President Trump has his work cut out for him. He's dialed back expectations and anticipation. I don't think so. Maybe B/C is a smart bet. Shelley said, I voted B/C because it will get better. It will just take time. And Janine said, I voted A because I want to be optimistic about our future.
A new job. Congratulations on your new job.
Go USA, back to common sense. I agree. Listen, folks, there are not many opportunities when to look at government and be optimistic. Don't miss the opportunity to be optimistic here on this one. The results of today's YouTube live chat poll, 223 votes. Your expectation grade for 2025, 3% said D, 2% said F, 41% say A, and 53% said B/C. So my quick math is 94% of voters today have said passing grade, if not better. We are so glad to be back. I am so glad to be back. Thank you for being here. AnnieFryShow.com for anything that you missed. But keep it here on 97.1 FM Talk. Mark Reardon.